All right, I'm gonna go grab another beer, and then it's time for the main event.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan
Yeah.
just.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania 6. The fucking garden is packed. Hulk Hogan just came out, and the Ultimate Warrior's music just kicked in. So the crowd is in a frenzy. Yeah, boy. He's running to the ring like fucking the T-1000.
Like he was born in France Unknown and shit.
That's an epic main event. That is an epic main event, bro.
Yeah, dude. The fans wanted what they got, too. They wanted it. And they
yes,
got it.
Yes.
Yep. What did they get? I don't know. I don't know my wrestling history.
They were both Hogan and Warrior were faces,
right?
That the crowd loved, but at this point in time, Hogan had been on top for a long time.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the Ultimate Warrior was like the new, quote unquote, new kid on the block,
and he was the Intercontinental Champion too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a force. Like he was kind of like that era's Goldberg. He would smash people.
Sure. Yeah. He smashed a lot of people. Yeah.
But he looked way cooler, and his promos were amazing because they were cosmic and nonsensical.
Right.
Hulk
like,
Hogan.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
He'd be like, Hulk Hogan, the sky will shatter and the universe will collide into your life. Hulk Hogan. Like he would say crazy off the wall shit.
But Hulk makes some so nasty fucking promotions, man. When he's slapping that belt around. And he's like, yeah, papaya belt, that's the number one. And he slaps the belt and shit. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Who did that?
Hulk Hogan.
Papaya belt?
Dude, it's some type of Indian fucking, like, punishment belt.
Oh.
And he was talking about this tradition that they used to beat each other. And he's this promo talking about it and yelling like a madman.
Yeah.
You gotta look at it. You gotta find it. It's amazing.
Oh, shit.
I realized how far we've taken this thing, brother. As I was in that slow rolling coffin on the way to the emergency room, as I waited, freeze, bated breath coming out of Jimmy Hart's body that I thought might be his last, I gazed down into his eyes, Ric Flair. Yes. Jimmy Hart was muttering, was stammering, trying to get the words out. I finally understood one word coming out of his mouth. Ric Flair, the steel cage wasn't the answer, brother, to our problems. The thousands of Hulkamaniacs that I had to strap back to keep off your back, Jack, wasn't the answer to the problems. But when I heard Jimmy Hart on the way to the emergency room in that slow rolling coffin muttered the words, Yappa-Pi, brother. The answer to the problem, Ric Flair.
Damn.
The Yappa-Pi Indian strap match, Jack. That's what Jimmy Hart was calling for, brother. And now that I know, with the powers to be watching my back, I can box you in contractually. I can corner you in, brother. And if we are bonded together with the leather, man, if we are bonded together with no one in our way, as I strap that flesh, as your flesh bubbles and burns over your whole body, you will understand, my man, what the Yappa-Pi mean by the Indian strap match flair. I'm calling your bluff, man. I'm the greatest wrestler of all times. And when I strap my wrist to yours, brother, the transformation, as my eyes roll in the back of my head, as the smoke comes out of my nose, the leather will be your last lifeline to the professional wrestling world, brother. I will beat you within an inch of your life, and in the Yappa-Pi Indian strap match, Ric Flair, I will prove that you will bow down to me for an eternity, brother.
Holy shit!
Yeah, boy.
First things first.
Fucking Hogan, bro.
Dr. Properno. I want to let Dr. Unger know and Dr. Hughes know that the release forms have been signed. You guys are not responsible for the last couple fractures in the forearm, brother. The main priority in the Yappapai Indian strap match is to have flexibility on the wrist that you're strapped to your opponent with, brother.
This is amazing.
Because in the Yappapai Indian strap match, when you're in the four corners of the battle zone, the main priority is to get the body in the proper position for the strapation dudes.
This is a grown
when
man.
I get Ric Flair,
the strapation dude.
Out of wind, sucking air, sweating from head to toe, I will call to the strap master Jimmy Hart on ringside. And I will say, Jimmy Hart at ringside, give me Yappapai Indian punishment strap number one. As I strap your body, Ric Flair, as you scream number to the heavens for mercy, as I see your skin start to bubble off your body, you will drop your knees and you will say, please, Mr. Hogan, please, I can't take it anymore. Please, I'm sorry I crossed the line. And as I hear you beg for mercy, Ric Flair, that's when I'll call to the strap master, Jimmy Hart, for Yappapai Indian strappage number two. That's when the heavier belt will come out. That's when I will strap your skin and the flesh will bubble. That's when the flesh will start to peel from your hide. And as I see the raw pink meat on your back, brother, to another level, I will transform from Hulk to Hollywood. I will double strap you with both fists and you will scream to the heavens, please, Hollywood, don't hurt me anymore. And I will never stop.
Okay.
Holy shit, Hogan.
And that's during the WCW days. Cody, do you remember this? Because I don't.
I only know about this because of a video I watched where someone kept using the lesson number one. And like he was making like a list of like things you have to do or you're going to be very upset with your art. So I was like, I got to look up this shit. And I started watching all those promos and I'm like, yeah, Hulk Hogan's the best.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan was great at cutting promos.
I've seen the clip, but I don't remember.
Right. Either.
You ready to get this train rolling?
Yeah, let's do it.
I hear the train blowing, coming round the bend.
I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know
when.
I hear the train a coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when. I'm stuck in cold prison. And time keeps dragging on.
Bienvenue à la boîte de nuit.
Welcome to the nightclub. I thought we were going to do it at the same time.
We did.
It's great.
Where horror comes to party and we are the ones who prefer legends to men, nobility to brutality, soaring speeches to quiet deeds. We remember the battle and the blood. Well, whatever history remembers the nightclub for, if at all, I hope it remembers us for being a podcast, some crazy couillons, some cosmic Cajuns, but it will only be a fraction of the truth because first and foremost, we're sexy.
Yeah!
Oh.
I'm John Wilkes Boone, and I guess I'm assassinating this episode tonight. Get ready for that shit. But I'm also here with...
Cotton Gin Rick, also known as Jump Scare Jesus, also known as a man with a contingency plan.
Shit, bar. And I'm coming in hot as Trevor Ham Lincoln. Yeah, baby. 47 years ago, we were cucking.
What's up? It's your boy Cody Cope, and I won't be held down by no hoe, so don't come back. No mo.
Oh, damn.
I like that.
Dropping it like it's hot. All right, and so tonight, everybody, I mean, yeah, you could maybe if you could tell by the names or not, we're going to be talking about the Daniel Day-Lewis, Lincoln, Steven Spielberg epic. We're talking about a movie that Trevor brought to the table. Trev, what movie are we talking about tonight?
Man, we are talking about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Is it Vampire Hunter or Vampire Slayer?
It's Vampire Hunter.
Oh shit!
So because okay. I had actually gotten it mixed up initially. I was like, oh shit, it's Hunter, not Slayer. My bad.
I the whole time, I guess my mind filtered Slayer in because I just kept seeing it or saying it or thinking.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if it was Slayer. Just saying,
it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know we had been recently like covering some historical shit on the Fourth Wall. If everyone out there doesn't know, the Fourth Wall has launched and we got shits a rolling. It's happening.
We got shits rolling, cuh. Yeah.
Shits a rolling uphill, downhill, into Gettysburg, crushing soldiers. It's fucking amazing. Big shit balls, nightclub shit balls. That's a new thing all of a sudden. big shitty balls. What?
Damn.
Yeah, cuh. Mm-hmm. Cucking to the next level. Cucking to the future. Yeah. But we've been covering historical things and conspiracy things.
Got some historical and macabre and conspiracy in this movie.
Yeah.
So if you've been paying attention to the Fourth Wall,
it's all tying together.
It's all coming around.
It's coming around.
Comes around.
It's like a circle.
It's like a circle.
Yeah.
All right. So Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out in 2012.
No, we gotta do. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Nightclub. Good night.
we gotta do some What You Rathers first.
Oh shit! Yeah, let's do that.
No, What You Rather. So if you haven't seen tonight's movie, What You Rather
is
watch it, and then you can come back and help us out with the What You Want to Do, so we can start the episode.
Mm-hmm. I keep doing that lately. I keep calling them What You Rathers, and I don't know why I'm doing that.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because
I've been laughing.
I miss when Shuttle the Pod would do some Would You Rathers. They don't do them anymore.
Yeah, we can blame it on them. Yeah.
I blame you, Shuttle the Pod, you fuckers.
I feel bad.
No, don't feel bad.
I was ready to blame them when it was just funny, but now it feels bad.
Yeah, okay, I'll die on Hearts Island. Fourth Wall.
Bury me on Hearts Island with my loved ones. The only ones who ever got me.
No, I did want to point this out though, because I think this is the first
episode.
We are
God's unwanted children. Mm-hmm. Bury us all there. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. This is the first episode we've recorded live where our Fourth Wall is actually live. In previous episodes, I've interrupted us and mentioned that it's out, but this is it. Like we're in the midst of it, and we do have members.
We're professionals.
We are actual professional fucking podcasters. So thank you for that, right. Making us
happened.
That Fourth Wall, yeah. Everybody.
Happened.
Or did that? Yeah,
we all quit, and then we got promoted to professionals.
Did that happen last night? That happened last night, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah,
it did.
I'm doing it again.
Do it again. Do it twice. Do it twice.
We're professional podcasters now, and we love it.
Can't you tell?
Thank you, guys.
if anybody gives us any shit, we could be like, look here, we're the professionals, okay?
Right.
Go sit your ass down.
We put on Go sit down, bitch. You got bitch, bitch.
They're already sitting because they're podcasting with us, so we tell them to go sit down, bro. Like, go sit down. Get off the field.
I don't get up at fucking 4 a.m. and put on a suit and tie just to take it off and be shirtless to do this for nothing, okay? Right. You know this is legit at this point, everybody. It's legit, okay? For tonight's movie, what you're going to want to do is not let your mama get murdered by a vampire. Boom. Threw down the gauntlet. Yeah.
What you're going to want to do is have a contingency plan.
What you're going to want to do is purchase a chainsaw. Because I don't care how much fruit sets you free, you ain't chopping down a tree with just one swing of an axe.
That's also very real, what you just said. That was real.
Nah, bro. He did that thing. We saw it. It was on
TV. Historical accuracy.
He did do it.
Historical accuracy. He did
it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so what you're going to want to do is get a job as a clerk in a small country town and then meet a politician and then steal that politician's girl and then marry her and then run against that politician so you can show him, hey, bitch, I'm the man. And then you beat him to be president and then you kill some vampires.
And lead your entire country into the dark ages. Dude, Abraham Lincoln told that guy, Senator Nelson or whatever his name was, he was like, you about to get America cooked.
Cooked by Lincoln. There's a movie in there somewhere.
Yeah.
If you have not seen tonight's film, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, cry off now and let the ritual begin.
Woo!
All right, so this time around, folks, it was your boy, NGC, Trev.
Yeah.
It was my turn to pick a movie.
Never good content.
It was my turn to pick a movie. And if y'all don't know, I kind of like me a little bit of history.
Yeah, boy.
And I also have a fondness for the vampires.
Yeah, boy.
And who doesn't love a good conspiracy, right?
Yeah, boy.
So I was like, you know what? I need to bring some freedom to these boys' houses. I need to show them the plight of humankind versus the vampires. So I was like, I'm going to bring him Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Love it.
Yeah, boy. Bring
me that freedom.
Feel that tingle. This
for
movie,
that freedom on me. In the name of love.
This movie was produced by a director. His name was Timur Norakakitovich. Bekmambetov. He was a Russian Kazakh filmmaker, producer, screenwriter, and tech entrepreneur.
Bekmambetov?
Bekmambetov?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. That sounds like a dirty Cajun word.
Yeah, huh? Ooh, that sounds like I just cursed somebody out in Cajun French.
Yeah, that sounds kind of like Bekmambetov.
So he would be best known by maybe y'all for producing directing the movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Ewan McGregor? I think it was Ewan McGregor, right?
Yeah,
Ewan McGregor.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah.
He did direct that. He also directed 2016's Ben-Hur.
Oh, nice.
If anybody heard about that. And he is known for Daywatch and Nightwatch. So I think Daywatch might be something that...
Those are little-known spinoffs of Baywatch.
Oh,
are
shit.
They? That would be dope.
They're
Travis is like, no.
I'm making a joke.
It's also a vampire movie, Daywatch. So just saying, it's horror. This movie had a budget of $79 million.
Damn.
I will say,
darn it.
Before you go into, I'm assuming you're coming up with what did it gross. When I went into this movie, I had an idea in my head of what it would look like.
Yeah.
And what it would be like.
Yeah.
What it looked like while watching the movie, I can tell that they had a budget, and I was kind
of, not kind of.
I was very impressed with how the movie looked.
Also, to mention the fucking cast. Yeah, I could tell they had some kind of money, dude.
I admit, I don't know, except for Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I don't know anybody in this movie.
Bro, brother, I recognize brother Mackey, the Falcon.
I don't know who that is.
Anthony Mackie's in a lot of different movies.
Oh, he's from New Orleans. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, now that you say it, but I didn't recognize him in this movie. I did not.
Bro, my boy from A Knight's Tale, always good to see Sewell. I can't remember his first name. It's something Sewell.
Well, I guess Trev might have the cast. My bad. I didn't mean to throw us off that hard. I was impressed by the way the movie looked, and I could tell after starting it and watching it that, oh my god, this movie has a fucking budget.
The horses.
The horse scene. Oh, shit.
It's so epic. The whole thing. I kept wondering, like, why does this look better than so many modern Marvel and DC movies?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up is what it is.
The bridge fire scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think subject matter and just, like, the storyline helped pull that off, but it looked amazing for sure. Yeah, so this movie's budget was $79 million, and I agree with y'all. Before I watched it, and even after the rewatch, I didn't know how much they had spent to make this movie. And I watched it, and I was like, it looks like high production value, right? Like, you could tell they spent some money on it. But even then, $79 million for 2012, that's a big chunk for a movie.
Based on the way it looks, they actually spent the money in the right areas.
Yeah, correct.
Because we're talking about a period piece, so and it looks really good.
Yep. Yeah, it is a period piece for sure. Any guesses to what their global intake was at the end of, once it was all said and done? What was their global revenue?
I'm gonna say it bombed because I never really heard about this movie. Okay. Anybody else? $50 million, if that.
I'm gonna say about 350.
I'll say right at 100.
Okay, Travis was probably the closest. So they spent $79 million to make this movie, and it ended up grossing worldwide about $115 million. So it made roughly $40 million after everything was said and done. So I mean, you could argue that being that it wasn't hyped, it might have been a box office flop, but they made money. So I feel like that's success.
Right? I was saying I thought it made $50 million, so it made more than $100 million. Cody was closest.
Well, I'm just talking about the difference between
a
the
profit.
Cost to make
You're talking
the film
about a profit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it did make it made like 100. It made 115 mil.
I'm impressed by global. That. Then,
so yeah.
Not
damn. I was the lowest with just 350.
It's always 350.
All right. Notable actors in this movie, because like y'all, I was still pleasantly surprised on the rewatch, noticing some people that I didn't remember being in the actual film. So to go over it, we have
Benjamin Walker.
Only person I was familiar with was the main guy, Abraham.
Benjamin Walker.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So the guy that plays Adam in this movie, Martin Sakas, is also in The Equalizer, Aeon Flux,
Rufus Sewell,
Triple X, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He's actually a pretty well-known actor.
Yeah, he was in A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in A Knight's Tale.
He actually didn't play Adam in the movie. He played Barts in the movie. Adam
in
the movie was Rufus Sewell.
That's who I was talking about.
Played in A Knight's Tale. He also played in The Illusionist with Edward Norton.
Yeah.
And Dark City. Oh.
Yeah, he was the main character in Dark City.
Oh, Dark City.
Yeah, Rufus Sewell.
That's who that is.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, Rick, I see it in his face.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that guy. It was great seeing him as like the lead villain in this film. He's always good, man. Like, you have been weighed, you have been measured, and found wanting.
Yeah,
he's good.
You also had Dominic Edward Cooper in the movie, who was the one that trained Abraham Lincoln. He's, I think, most well known in our mythos. He was in Captain America, the First Avenger, but he plays as the main character in Preacher, as the preacher.
Oh, Okay.
Him. And then you have Mary Elizabeth
Meow.
Yeah. Winstead, who is most known for probably being in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Right.
Right, as Ramona Flowers. She was in Death Proof, Cloverfield Lane.
She was the cheerleader in Death Proof.
Yep. Live Free or Die Trying. She's in the Ahsoka Disney series.
Yeah, dude. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is the best. Yeah.
She's in Birds of Prey, Gemini, Man, Love, Death, and Robots, Fargo, the TV series, and a couple other things like that. She's a pretty well-known actor these days. Yeah.
She was the well, I guess it's more of a prequel, the Thing prequel that was made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She was the lead in there. She did really good.
And then you also had Anthony Mackie, which is probably best known these days.
The Falcon.
As the Falcon in the Marvels series. He also played in that movie with The Rock. What was it called? Where, like, they steal that guy's money?
Hell, he was Clarence from 8 Mile.
He was Clarence from 8 Mile.
That's how I know him, is as Clarence. And Clarence's parents have a real good marriage.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's in the Hurt Locker Twisted Metal TV series that just came out. He's the main character. Right, he's the
lead in that, yeah.
The movie that's made my top 15 list for 2023, we have a ghost. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie is in that as one of the main characters.
Fun.
He Altered Carbon. He makes an appearance in a later series.
Season 2.
Black Mirror is also something he has acting credits on.
I've been telling y'all need to watch Altered Carbon. That shit is dope.
I've seen the first two seasons, Ricky.
Oh, well, then you're on the same page as me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a dope-ass movie. So, anyway, yeah, this movie
actually... I made Travis. I keep telling him.
Whenever you ain't running the nightclub empire, let me know, bro. I'll watch all the shit. It's fucked up. Working two jobs, three technically. Oh, I ain't got time for shit. All I watch is what we cover. It's all I do. I've seen three 2024s, and it's only what we've covered.
I'll bring Altered Carbon to the nightclub one day.
Okay.
We do our sci-fi
TV
section.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh shit. So this movie does have technically a star-studded cast. The director hasn't really done anything crazy in the last couple of years, but I think he did something with this movie at the very least.
For sure.
What I thought was interesting is finding out this movie was produced by Tim Burton.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw that at the end credits too, and I was like, "Huh, okay."
Knowing that,
I know where
they got their budget from is the fact that Tim Burton was fucking
involved,
footing the bill. Yeah, producing. So he definitely put his money into this. And
yeah,
Trev, do you have any origins of where this movie came from?
Okay, so the reason I watched this movie was because I actually read the book Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. That's right.
Oh, it was a
it's a novel first. Right here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there it is.
Here it
is. Dope ass cover.
Seth Graham Smith.
Yep. Seth Graham Smith is the author. This isn't all he's done. There's actually a movie called Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, which is also good, and I'd like to cover that one day if we can.
Hell yeah. I love Pride and Prejudice. I don't give a fuck.
So, and like I said, as someone who likes horror, someone who likes history, someone who likes vampires, this guy took all those things and he just mashed them together, kind of like a Forrest Gump style, right? Don't get me wrong. He took some liberties with some of the history involved, but...
No, Trevor, no. This is... from Abraham Lincoln's journal. That's true.
Yeah.
Wake tonight. Up, America.
Yeah, wake up. You fucking sheep. Bah, bah.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, fucking sheep.
China, yeah, China.
Sheep. You Chinese sheep.
No.
I don't know if you can say that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
We don't know.
We don't know what you're allowed to say.
That's the fun of it, you know? So
they're
plastic Chinese sheep.
They're mining coal and they're like, my TikTok ain't as good as yours, but I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
Ain't that right, Trev?
Yep.
Actually, their TikTok's better. They actually teach them health and physics and science. And
that's all a lie.
What?
They hook them up to test tubes and then they just They don't have to murder babies for adrenochrome. They just take it from living people all around China. So they can live forever.
If you're in China and you're somehow hearing the nightclub, I want you to email us at thenightclubpodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us, the Nightclub Podcast on Instagram. We're also on X, formerly known as Twitter, because Elon Musk said, get the fuck out. We're also on Threads and Facebook, little known fact, at the Nightclub. Message us on any of those platforms.
Or on Slasher.
Slasher as well.
You can measure us on a fourth wall too, by the way.
And join the fucking fourth wall. Subscribe. $5 a month gets you extra content. And what you need is extra content, because content.
Everybody wants that extra inch, and we're just trying to give it to you.
That's it. We put them all together and came up with
Trevor, you son of a bitch. That is amazing. There you go. So, yeah, let us know, China. How's it going for you over there? Is TikTok better? Is it worse? We're fucking propagandized out the ass over here. Propagandi is playing in the background right now.
Fuck yeah, Propagandi still.
Yeah, they are. There it is, folks. Let's get into our scene-by-scene breakdown.
Abe Lincoln was a man.
Uh-huh.
And then he was born. And then he killed a vampire.
He was a man, then he was born.
Yes.
Yes. Let's get into Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, scene by scene. Amidst a cacophony of screaming billboards and Disney bodies to read. Sometimes the ties that bind are strange. No justice shines upon the cemetery plots mark Hacking Weaver or anime where federal bureaus and frontal orders have cast their shadows. Just built into these borders. But under cover of the customary gap we find between history and truth found in fathers, back in the rockets blinding red glare, the bomb bursting in air. One nation indivisible. But the truth is, the backwards we learned of ratification. The people had a coffin painted black, solemnly born in funeral procession. They buried it deep in the earth as an emblem of the dissolution, internment of their public liberty. And someday, somewhere, today's empires, tomorrow's ashes.
The film opens up in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Abraham Lincoln is begging God to allow him to pass this cup.
And John Wilkes Boone shows up. Cajun with his Cajun stomper boots on, and he's just like, hell nah, cuh. I don't know why I'm taking up this mantle so willingly.
Right.
Because it sounds awesome.
It's funny, but I don't like the connotation. I don't like what it could be.
I mean, I know. I don't want you to shoot me either when we go to the movie theater to watch our next horror film.
I don't want
to get like, Travis, why are you sitting behind me? And
what is your political agenda, bro?
Yeah. Right. I don't want to get saddled with the guy that's mad that racism is like trying to end.
Yeah. And then Travis looks at me and he's like, Trevor Ham Lincoln, you freed too many people, bro. I gotta put you down.
A2 Trevor Ham. A2.
Yeah, A2.
I don't know why you too, because you're not stabbing me, but fuck it. You're stabbing me in my slave heart. My slave holding heart.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, the year is 1818, and Abraham Lincoln is living in Indiana with his parents, Nancy and Thomas, who work on a plantation owned by this fucking guy named Cody Bartz. Cody Co. over there.
Cody Bartz? Bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Jack Bartz, but it's Cody Bartz tonight. And there is where young Abraham Lincoln is witnessing for the first time in his life the cruelty of
racism,
African Americans,
oppression,
oppression, racism, all of that, all of that,
humanity.
His friend William Johnson is being fucking whipped by some asshole that works there too. I guess I don't know who the fuck this dude is. He's a slaver.
Some big fucking asshole, just asshole
whipping a little child, Okay, yeah. So his dad's like, don't do anything foolish, Abraham. He calls him Brom.
Just look away. Just look away.
Just look away. Him. And Abraham's like, fuck that. And what's he grab? What's he
an
grab,
axe.
Y'all?
He grabs an axe. Yeah, axe.
He grabs an axe and he runs over there like, fuck this shit right quick. And he tries to defend his friend, William, who's getting whipped by this big bitch. My boy starts getting whipped with him. But then Abraham Lincoln's dad, Thomas, is like, oh, hell nah, cuh. And he punches this dude into the river because they're on a dock. That's the coolest part.
Yeah.
And this opening scene immediately is where I noticed the production value. And I'm like, wow. I was like,
everything looks good, man. The set design, the on location shit. Like, dude, the world feels lived in. It feels so real.
This movie was filmed in Louisiana, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just FYI to that. And yes, the first thing I noticed is that is like, wow, this is, looks incredible to the time, according to what I know about the time, just from other movies and reading. And I'm like, this is awesome. And he punches that dude into the goddamn water. And then the boss man comes out, Cody Bartz, and he is overacting his ass off in this scene.
Hamming it up.
He's got these,
and the
like,
camera's helping him, bro. He looks menacing.
He's got like John Lennon glasses on, the little circle glasses. He's got a long black corn cob pipe in his mouth and delivering his lines all while smoke's billowing everywhere. And he's just like, where's a man held gonna watch her? And I'm like, this dude is just,
he was great. Yeah. He was hamming it up bad, dude. Or good, rather. I don't know.
I think it's both. I think his acting in this scene was... So when I started the movie, I'm like, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, like, the production value, I'm like, whoa. Then the acting, at first, I'm like, damn, this is kind of heavy. Then this guy shows up, and I'm like... Oh, there it is. There's what I was waiting for. This fucking dude. But still effective, and I'm still enjoying it. This guy's really cool. He's a piece of shit, and he's definitely chewing his scenery, but wow.
And he's so menacing looking to me, man, just with the fucking cane in one hand, waving it around, and the whip in the other. Like, this dude was scary. Good little first boss. Love
what
it.
What I like about Nancy and Thomas, Abe's parents, is Nancy's trying to help Will, the little black boy that was getting whipped, and he got whipped in the face, and the camera shows you.
Oh,
that.
Oh, you see it, see it just,
and it's a good thing that the movie showed you that when it did for later. I like that comes back, and she's trying to take care of this young boy, and the slave owner who pops out, Jack Bartz is like, you want your freedom? Well, you can find yourself freely employed from me. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he's like, but there's a debt you owe me. He's talking to Thomas. He puts his cane up against his chest. Thomas says, any debt you receive from me is going to be wrapped in my fist. And he slaps the cane away, but then there's a gun. And he's like,
a gun. Yeah.
And that's another tie in to something later. So I'm like, that's double mint twins right there.
Double mint twins.
Yeah. Double your pleasure, fun.
Big twin, double mint titties.
Yes. I'm like, wow. Okay. But I didn't know that yet. I'm just seeing this part, but I was like, that's kind of cool. His cane's a gun. And Thomas is like, oh shit. Okay, bro. All right. I'm out. And he leaves. And then that night, little Abraham wakes up and he's fucking like looking down.
Scared. He's got a candle lit and he's looking around and shit.
And he lives in the little loft up above where his
parents. I like this. It looks so good. Mm-hmm. And it looks lived in. It looks real. I was like, man, I want to sleep in that loft.
I just want to chill up there in that loft for all times. But and he feels so safe in that loft, and he feels safe with his parents downstairs, but not tonight. He looks downstairs, mm-hmm. and he recognizes somebody creeping in. And I'm going to be honest. When I'm watching this movie, at this point in the movie, because of the heaviness of the look, just look away, and the little kid going try to save his friend, and the slave owner being a dick, I completely forgot that there were vampires in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whenever I saw Homeboy, I was like, oh, that's right. There's vampires in this movie.
Right.
That's how sucked in I was from the opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Homeboy biting Nancy's neck in the middle of the night. And then the next scene, the heaviness comes right back. And I'm thinking about Trevor, and I'm like, Trevor, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? Yeah, I thought, based on the title of the movie and the cover art, I thought you were bringing some fun, which it is, mm-hmm. but I thought you were also bringing some silly bullshit, which I would appreciate. Right. Mm-hmm. But then this movie gets heavy in places that I was,
and
like,
it plays
not
the
expecting.
Whole thing so serious. Yep. Yeah. You know, you would expect this to be some schlocky autistic shit, which I'm all for, and I wanted it. I wanted it bad in my heart, but what you get is something that is played so straight and so serious, even though it still knows that it's goofy as fuck. It's very good. It's a very good balance.
That's yeah. something that I can't hold back anymore. Is like, the premise is fucking goofy and silly and awesome. It's an awesome, goofy, silly premise.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie is doing what Rick is saying. It just plays things like, nope, this is real. And it does it over and over and over, and it works. This mm-hmm. scene, little Brom crawls down from the loft, and his dad is like, holy fuck, my wife is sick as fuck. He leaves, and Abraham gets in the bed with his mom, and they start reading a story, and she dies mid-reading with him. And he looks over at her like, mom, mom. And the movie cuts to him and his dad at her grave.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh.
And his dad's like, Abe, I need you to promise me that you will not seek revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So he promised him.
And he lied.
So that means
he kept that promise. He kept that promise for like 9 years, bro.
Yep. Specifically said, after my father died, my promise had been kept.
That's it. That's all it took.
Yeah.
And then we get, I think in nightclub lore and nightclub whatever, this scene right here is going to go down in history.
What you get?
At least for me.
Yeah.
You get my boy who done kept his promise to his dad after his mom mm-hmm. has been murdered by this fucking slave driver, and he's sitting at a bar drinking. Mm-hmm. And he's drinking like Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And then the dude next to him, I thought Ricky was going to laugh at that. The boy next
drinking
to him.
Drinking Lincoln.
Yeah. The boy next to him is like, you're drinking like you either want to kiss a woman or kill a man. And he pats him on the back. He's like, which is it? Bow! And a gun falls on the floor.
Yep.
And I'm like,
keep that thing on him.
He's like Bob. He keeps that thing on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh! Like, oh, shit! Dude. Hell yeah, my boy's got a plan that night. And this is our character, Henry Sturge, or is it Sturgis?
Sturgesso.
Sturgis.
Sturgesso.
Sturgesso. Sturgesso.
Henry
Sturgesso is here. And he's basically like trying to warn him off, you know, like, don't do what you think you want to do, man. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lincoln goes for it. Lincoln goes for it. He goes back
Lincoln's
to.
It's like, you ain't my mama. She dead.
Right. Or my daddy. He dead too.
Yep.
He goes back to the docks that night and tracks down Jack Bartz and is straight up going to shoot this motherfucker because he pulls the trigger.
Yep.
But it don't work. And this is where I'm. No contingency plan. Correct. And Jack Bartz is telling him as such the whole time. He's like, you came here thinking you were going to fuck me up. He's chasing him down. He's like, I hate chasing chickens. That made me think of Mick from Rocky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he chases him into this fucking little dock room. I don't know what to call it, but where this woman's dead on the floor. And my boy is trying to pour gunpowder into his pistol. And outside the door, right outside the door the whole time, Jack is like, oh, you're pouring the thing. Make sure you load the ball right. Then he mm-hmm. taps on the door and the ball, he's like, oh, your ball bearing fell on the floor.
Yep.
And I like the, he this says dude like,
is a fuck.
He is, right?
Yeah.
Man.
He's a 10, bro. He's a 10. He's an awesome first boss villain.
He's a devilish fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the tension that this scene brings because he's like reaching for the ball with his foot while he's trying to hold the door closed. And
yeah.
It's so good.
I like what he says, and I'm gonna paraphrase it, but he's like, there's two kinds of people, the ones who will pull the trigger and what's he say, Trev?
It's something along the lines of like those who pull the trigger and then those who like go crying back to mama or something like that.
It's something like that.
He brought the mama in it?
Yeah.
Well, he opens the door and my boy does shoot him. He shoots him, but it doesn't fucking work. And Henry shows up, our boy from the bar, out of nowhere and starts performing superhero feats of strength, punching this guy up a barn or whatever that fucking building is.
That was crazy. Right.
He uppercutted him like it was Mortal Kombat, and my dude was just slowly going up the building.
Yeah, and just at this point of the movie, listeners, this is when you know that they were not scared to spend money on CGI.
Right.
Just saying.
No, because, and I'm going to say it, like, yes, there's CGI throughout this entire movie, but...
It never looks terrible.
It looks great the whole movie.
It looks great, but my point is that, like, you could tell that they're about to use some CGI in some awesome ways.
Right.
Dude.
Yeah, they do it very... the CGI in this movie is hella tasteful.
How did they make a movie for $79 million? Like Trev said earlier, someone said it earlier, I want to give credit where credit's due, that this movie looks better than modern Marvel movies.
Oh, that was me. Yeah. DC, Marvel, I'm like, what happened? Like, why?
Why does it look not this good?
Right.
Why? I'm not saying all the time. Definitely not all the time.
Right.
Obviously, some movies look better than others. I think they put a lot of effort into the Guardians films. They definitely put a lot of effort into the Avengers itself films like Endgame and Infinity War.
Right.
But there's other movies where you see it and you're like, ugh. Gross. It's gross. This movie's not gross. It's not. So this is basically the opening of the movie. This is, to me, this is the whole opening. You had the opening scene, but this is the whole, now we're about to get into the goddamn thick of it.
His first quest is complete, Bo.
Well, Abe got fucked up, first off, in this fight.
Yeah.
Abe got the dog shit walked on him, right?
Yeah.
And this dude comes up and saves him. And then next thing you know, he's just waking up in some random bed hearing some screaming.
I like this scene.
Mm-hmm.
My boy runs in with a candle. A big, when I say a candle, I mean a fucking,
a big
like,
tallow candle, like.
Yeah,
like fucking Terrare would have eaten by the basketful.
Yeah,
a late 18th century candle, mid to late.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a whole goddamn. It's a staff, basically. He's running in the room with, and this chick is fucking the shit out of this guy in a bathtub, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't see anything." And he closes the. He's like, "You might want to start with closing the door," Henry says, and Abe's like, "Oh yeah." He goes out.
Do you think he was gonna bite that chick?
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hadn't thought of that, had you?
I don't think so.
I hadn't thought of it, and I was also like, whoa, because, like, we don't know yet.
I know, but that's why I'm asking you.
No.
Because I'm not going to remember that chick later.
No, I don't think he was.
Oh, okay.
I think he was just fucking.
Well, I thought he was trying to have double the pleasure, you know?
Oh, double mint twins in the bathtub? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe. Now I'm liking it. No, I never thought of it, but yeah, we don't know yet, but that's a little sneak peek behind the curtain right there about Henry, but that was a reveal to me and I think everybody, because we didn't know. But yep. I did wonder why certain things were happening later, and that actually answered that question for me, because that was a problem I had until later. So Henry starts explaining to Abraham Lincoln, like, there's vampires all over this fucking country. I'm a vampire hunter. It's sort of my hobby. And
right.
but vampires don't exist.
Right.
That's what Abe says.
Yeah, Abe's like, oh, it's a myth. He's like, oh, yeah. Did a myth just beat your ass last night?
Yeah.
And Abraham Lincoln is basically just like, holy shit, this is crazy. A vampire killed my mom. Can you train me in your ways? And this is where Henry starts to let a little bit of his principles shine through. And he's like, well, the first thing you have to eliminate from your mind is the idea of vengeance. You got to get rid of that. But there's a reason behind him telling him that. And I didn't know it at first, but it ties into what Ricky said about this character. So Abraham goes through all kinds of fucking training, crazy training to kill vampires.
Yep.
So yeah, we're full bore in the absurd in this movie.
Yeah.
The 16th president of the United States in his younger days is training to kill, oh, I'm sorry, destroy vampires.
Yeah, they do make that distinction.
Yeah, it's like, it's a really tricky feat to kill something that is already dead. And I like that. Yep.
When you know the movie's starting to lean into the crazy fun of this movie, because it is a very serious movie, but like there's some underlying like comedic things.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets ridiculous with like the superhuman feats, they don't have a problem with leaning into it, is what I'll say.
Yeah, because so, they look like they're like from RRR at times.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yeah.
Just
yeah,
like, sure. Oh, you're gonna throw a horse at me? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's training, and the guy's like, "You see this tree right here?" He's like, "I want you to chop this long pine tree down with one swing."
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham's like, what?
That's a foot long or a foot wide. How do I do that?
Yeah, he slaps it like he's slapping someone's ass, and he's like, ba-bong. Mm-hmm. Shit. That's at least a foot wide or some shit. His master Henry's like, think about what you hate.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, go ahead, swing at it. And he swings at it. And
he says, I hate Jack Bartz. And he swings and he hits, and he's like, Henry's like, you didn't hate him that much.
That much. Yeah. I like that he makes him get down to the deep down truth of why you're mad.
Yeah. Because he keeps swinging, and he's like, I'm mad that I was too weak to be able to like help, like save my mom. And Henry's like, yeah, that's right. You're weak. Pretty much like too weak. And he keeps going. And then that's where he kind of elaborates on his weakness against like the vampires and wanting vengeance and shit. And then, like, he blasts through the fucking tree. Just, like, four swings in. And then, like, the tree just explodes, basically.
Where he blows up.
Where he, yeah. Like we're talking, like, Transformers. just
Michael explosions. Bay special effect explosion. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a Michael Bay tree explosion is what it was.
Tree explosion.
And then that's where Henry's, like, the true power comes from when the truth is revealed or some shit.
Well, he says that power doesn't come from hatred. It comes from truth.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. This movie is littered with, you know, some people could roll their eyes at some of these lines, but because they're so grandiose, but I
like
that kind of writing. And especially in this kind of story where this movie is doing what it's doing and it looks the way it looks.
I would love to see. Oh, go ahead.
It's like a B horror movie done on a big level.
Right.
Yeah, what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say, I'd like to see, like, the director who did RRR remake this movie. Can you imagine?
Oh, what?
Good Lord. Awesome.
All the singing and dancing and, like, fighting and craziness and the...
Yeah.
I almost hope he watched this movie and was like, I'm going to make something like this.
Like, right.
But I'm going to add dancing.
So after all that training, eventually Abraham Lincoln goes to Springfield, Illinois. We all know that from history. So we're leaving out some truth in our history books, y'all. Just saying. Henry explains that vampires are all across America and are descendants of Adam, this very powerful vampire who owns a plantation in New Orleans with his sister Vadima, I think I'm saying her name right. Mm-hmm. And Henry reveals that the vampire's weakness is silver and presents him with a silver pocket watch. In Springfield, Abraham Lincoln starts to work at this grocery store run by a guy named Joshua Speed. And here he meets Mary Todd. I love this scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where, because so Abraham Lincoln's mission is, and his MO is like,
it's calling me now.
Yeah, like, that's what, like, I thought of too, Cody. Oh, Mary Todd's calling now.
I like that his MO though is no relationships, no friends, no family, no nothing. Like, you're just here to do what I say, go after the people I send you to go after, and just exist. And I'm not going to do this part of the film justice because I'm jumping right to when Mary Todd shows up, but it becomes clear through the narrative that Abe's starting to get really lonely and whatever, and then Mary Todd shows up in his shop. He jumps off a ladder to talk to this woman because she's offended by being called ma'am and not miss. And he's talking to her and her fiancé, this fucking guy that's running for office somewhere, I don't know where, but he's running for office, and he's like, slavery is a very complicated subject. And
right,
Abraham Lincoln looks at him, he's like, we completely disagree, because he doesn't fucking feel like it's complicated at all. He's not a racist. Yep. He's remembering his friend Will from back in the Gap when he says some shit like that, and I think that is dope. And
I agree. This interaction was really good.
I love this scene. Thought it was really well done. Acting is great. I don't know. Like, it ain't like nothing like the guy earlier hamming it up, which is fun.
The lighting here, mm-hmm, too, was really good.
Everything looks so good. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 again, and it's that Old West. Nice. And, dude, this got that Old West vibe. It's looking dope. I'm like, yep. They put the money into it.
Man. I haven't played Red Dead in years, man.
Abe Lincoln eventually forms romantic feelings for Mary Todd, and he goes to this fucking like gala event or politicians event or some shit where he cuts in on the dance, and he starts macking hard, bro.
he does.
Macking big time. He starts macking like a tall man with a Hogzilla, bro.
Yep.
Operating that mag,
dude. Yes. And she's like, Mr. Lincoln, you are full of surprises. And he's like, you have no idea. And because at night, Abe has been getting letters from Henry about, and he's getting clues like, you need to go to the pharmacy. Your prescription is there. He's like, you need to go to the library. There's a book there, but it could disappear quick. And that's all clues to the vampires he needs to go kill in the town. And the vampires in this movie are different than other vampires in other movies, other writings, other mythologies. They can disappear and reappear at will. They can travel in sunlight easily, very easily, throughout the whole movie. There's no stopping them from doing that. The traditional stake through the heart is a no-go. It seems silver is the thing that kills them, so you need silver like a werewolf.
Yep.
So it's different, and I like that it has its own flavor. I like this. No one's glittering.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh man.
What do you mean, oh man, after our 50 smoke breaks during Twilight? Wait, what? After we left Twilight like 50 times to smoke outside.
Oh.
Abraham Lincoln's been killing all them vampires. After their soiree, Mary Todd and Lincoln go back to her place, and he's gonna let her inside.
Yep.
And she goes to kiss him, and he turns the cheek.
Yeah.
Because he remembers what Henry was whispering in his head. It's echoing through his mind. He's like, no relationships, no nothing. And he's like, all right. And he's like, okay, I gotta go. And later, Lincoln, and his weapon this entire time, by the way, y'all, has been an axe. And this axe also doubles as a gun, which we're about to find out, because he goes back to kill. Finally, he's been receiving these letters, killing these vampires. Henry shows up in town, and Abe's like, dude, I've been waiting for one specific letter. I want to kill one specific guy. So he's kind of breaking his vengeance rule right there. But this is when Henry hands Abe his pocket watch back, and it says, time waits for no man, on the inside inscription. And it's a silver pocket watch. Yep. So now Abe knows, I can go kill Jack Bartz. And he goes, and I like this scene where he goes, Jack's walking through his barn, and he starts sniffing. He's like,
right.
And he's like, Abraham fucking Link. And then Abraham Lincoln fucking attacks his ass. And this is when we get one of the best scenes in the movie, if not the most action-packed. The horse herd scene. Right. The horses, the sunset, the camera work, the pacing. Everything about this scene is amazing.
It's a 10. It's a 10 out of 10, bro.
They're jumping from horse to horse. Horses are getting slung around.
Horses are getting thrown at Abraham Lincoln, and he's like not caring.
He's a regular human, and this guy's a vampire. This guy's got years and years of experience being a badass over him, but Abraham is such a badass that he can be on point with this guy. There's a part in this scene where, it's like picture the fucking stampede from Lion King, man. It's constantly coming. There's just horses and horses and horses.
Yeah. All the horses and all the men.
Couldn't put Abraham Lincoln down again. And Abraham Lincoln's on his back, and this vampire Jack jumps on him, and Abraham lifts him up with his axe, and a horse takes his ass out. Jack starts jumping from horse to horse and is like, good luck catching me, boy. And Abraham,
I like how he keeps saying it too. He keeps saying, better catch me before I get to Mary. Like he was literally just running straight there now.
Yeah, definitely.
That dude was trying to fuck with him bad. But Abraham, regular guy, starts also tiptoeing from horse to horse, just gracefully gliding through this running stampede of fucking stallions, and fucking catches Jack and knocks his ass down real hard enough to where he's basically taken out, and Jack starts saying some bullshit about, like, this is his country, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that lets you know there's something deeper going on here. That's the Adam character we were told about earlier by Henry through his slideshow. Mm-hmm. And he fucking does away with Jack Bartz, cuts his head off, or whatever he does.
Yep, he's cussed, Buck.
When Abe goes back to town, he stumbles upon Henry being a vampire.
Yep.
So he's like, you son of a bitch.
I do want to point out that Henry was feeding off of a guy that was about to rape somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
True.
So
it's true.
Just saying, I understand where Abe's coming from, but obviously, yeah, Henry's a vampire, but also
he's a little different.
But he also only eats on like bad people. So that deserves it.
Yeah. Henry is a good vampire. Mm-hmm. And Abe is pissed because he's been lied to, so he goes to attack Henry, but Henry's like, you weren't ready to know the truth yet. Then Henry explains the truth. Back in the gap, Henry and his wife were on a coach, and they were riding through the countryside, beautiful blue countryside, amazing scene. And these rogue vagabond horseback vampires show up, and Adam is there. Henry tries to fight off some of them, but eventually gets captured. And Adam bites him, turning him into a vampire, and then bites his wife and sucks her
dry.
Dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He sucked her off good.
Suck it dry.
Yeah, Cody, goddamn.
Suck it dry. Aqua Teen. What's that from?
That's Aqua Teen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Suck it dry. and he was like, her soul was pure, but yours, Henry. And we get some fucking psychic vampire craziness. This is more vampire lore in this world. Vampires physically cannot kill each other. There's some kind of barrier that interferes with a vampire from actually taking another vampire's life. And Adam tells Henry this is one of God's little tricks. Feeling betrayed, Abraham Lincoln decides, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. And he's like, they don't know who I am, so I'm going to take this another route. He's been preaching about ending slavery because at a certain point in the movie, Will, a grown-up Will, the little boy from the docks who got whipped in the face, shows up at the shop that Abraham's working at. And this part, again, I sat up and went, what? Because this guy walks in and he's like, asking him, oh, a shopkeep reading a law book. What are you, some kind of lawyer? And he's like, well, I'm trying to be one, Abraham Lincoln says. And he's like, well, tell me about this certain law. And Abraham Lincoln starts quoting verbatim the law about how when a slave, you know, gets set free or runs free, or I forget the exact thing about it, but he knows it verbatim, the section, the quote, the article, everything, the numbers, all that shit. And he looks at the guy and he's like, that's my boy, Will. And they hug and he's like, I'm going to be your lawyer. I'll do whatever. That all sprung him on this journey where he's going to now go political and try to change right. things from the inside, because one man trying to protect humanity is not enough. But if you can get humanity on your side to change humanity, there you go. So Abraham Lincoln's running for goddamn president now. And the movie does a wild transition where, again, when I first started watching this movie, I thought this was just going to be about his younger days before right. he became president.
Go full bore.
Nah. They did a good job twisting like actual history to this.
Dude.
So yeah. tying in famous things that have happened to Abe as president.
They Tarantino'd right. this shit. They fucking rewrote history and did it right. Cause the camera just shows him transform into, and he walks onto screen out of a blurry ass silhouette. And it's Abraham fucking Lincoln. And this dude looks like
fucking Abraham Lincoln, dude.
Yeah.
Mary Todd is by his side the whole time, but she don't know. She don't know. Mm-hmm. He jokingly tells her at a tea party picnic they had that he kills vampires. And I like that cute scene. We skipped over that scene, but I think that was cute where he was like, she's like, you're so tired, Abe. This is in his younger days. And he's like, oh, well, that's, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I've been working nights. She's like, well, what do you do at night? And he's like, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. And I guess he did tell her at this point.
Yeah,
She took it as him being a fun boy.
Right. Yep.
But he's like, I kill vampires. And she's like, oh, how many have you killed? Five? No. Six.
Six.
I've killed six vampires. And she's like, mm-hmm. How do you kill them? Silver. He's like, he's telling her. So, but yeah, years later, Abraham Lincoln is now the president of the goddamn United States. He's campaigning to abolish slavery. He wants to get rid of it. He started, well, not he started a war, but the country is warring with itself. So we're in the Civil War now. And my boy is seeing the results of it.
Don't ask Grindhouse what side he fought for.
Abraham Lincoln is seeing newspaper articles about like 20,000 dead, 30,000 dead. This battle did this. This battle did that. And his cabinet is made up of Will, his friend, the shopkeep, Speed. He's got all his close people in with him. Like,
I want to point out that Speed is one of the McPoyles, by the way.
Yes, he is. He is the milk drinking McPoyle. Well, they all drink milk, but he's the lead.
He's the one, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's the one.
While Lincoln is fighting this war, the vampires track him down because they find the pocket watch on the body of Jack Bartz. They know that it's Abraham Lincoln, and they've planned a long game here. The vampires in this movie have established a slave-eating trade in the South, so they're part of the slave trade in the South. So that's why they're established in New Orleans. That's why they rule over the South. They're eating slaves is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that finds it, Adam, he finds the pocket watch. They play the long game. They wait until Lincoln is like, you know, all caught up in the war. And he can't really be, I guess, as observant as a husband and father or whatever, have his staff on point. And what's her name? The sister of Adam, Vadma. I forget her name, but she sneaks in as a housemaid and sneaks into
He's been absent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sneaks into little Willie's room, which is the son of Abraham and Mary Todd, named after
Little Willie.
Little Willie's just trying to play Warhammer. He's just playing Warhammer right there. He's got his terrain set up. He's got his little mans. He's got like the special chain sword in his hand.
My boy is even dressed like a Union soldier. Okay. He's cosplaying Warhammer.
Yep.
I hate this scene. I mean, I like it, but I hate it.
For the Emperor. Yeah.
Because this chick sneaks in there and she's talking to him and like getting all close to him.
Yeah. And she kisses him on the wrist.
Yeah. And his little sword from his little man falls to the ground, and that's when you know Abraham Lincoln's son.
His little sword.
The little sword, yeah, man.
He's a sick boy now.
It's and it's silver too, which we find out.
Yep.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 scene right there coming up. But yeah, fuck yeah. I was so gratified. I was so happy.
Yeah, you got that gratification, did you?
I got it.
Yeah, bud. The edging was done.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was time to reach those pearly gates.
He made those gates extra pearly.
Extra pearly.
My poor little dude gets the vampire's kiss and he dies. And again, this is the heaviness, man. Abraham Lincoln is praying by the bedside of his dying son, dead son, actually. Henry walks in. Years old friend who we now know is a vampire, so he's immortal, so he's just looking young as shit. Abraham Lincoln's done aged from the goddamn Civil War, and Henry's like, you know, I can bring him back. Abe's like, no. And Mary Todd shows up being like, do it. Abraham, I've read your journal. I've read everything you tried to hide from me. I know it all now. Bring my son back. And Abe's like, it's not going to be our little boy, though. It's not going to be the same. And it's all fucked up. Like, all of this is fucked up, man.
But I want to know how he knows it wouldn't be the same. Like,
because
obviously Henry is cool.
Sometimes dead is better.
Oh.
Also,
I don't know either. I don't know
your
either.
Their kid would never age. So, like,
It would be like Interview with a Vampire. He'd be like Kirsten Dunst all over again. Yeah, that'd
be he'd be like, all I have is these toys and I just want to bang chicks.
Mom, dad, my pee-pee can't even get hard. What the fuck?
Right.
What the fuck? He'd be like all them fish at the end of Trailer Park Boys. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? So Abe called the right call there. And you know, they're starting to lose the Civil War because in the South, Jefferson Davis teams up with goddamn Adam and he's like, I'll protect you if you protect me. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. And Adam whips out his big vampire cock. And he's like, don't worry, we got you. So they start sending vampires onto the battlefield and bullets don't work. So the North is getting fucked. And Abraham's like, I got to pull out this war. And Mary Todd's like, you better not. Because if you do,
you better not pull out.
Don't
you
pull out,
not
Abe.
Pull out, Abe.
Everything you've done, our son's death, it will all be for nothing. And Abraham's sitting there and he's like, I just need something. I need something. And he looks at the fucking fork. A fucking fork. Something. This is like in so many big dramatic action movies or movies where you get that final like little twist spin where it's like, oh. Ding, 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 ding. That's the answer.
Right. Silver, guys. Silver.
Silver.
We've been through this.
They're like, how much do you need? And Abe's like, all of it.
Yeah.
So the North starts raiding everyone's house for silver. Silver, everything.
They're
cups,
stealing
goblets,
everyone's silver.
Plates, forks, spoons.
Yep.
Picture
Fun fact,
frames.
This is how I
took all my silverware.
Yeah. fun fact, this is how the IRS was started right here.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's right.
Well, they start melting all this silver down to bullets and cannonballs and weapons, bayonets, spears, daggers, everything they can get their fucking like
silver
imagine.
Cannonballs are wild, bro.
That's wild,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
And Abe tells, you know, he sets up this plan where they're going to transport everything on the railroad, and he tells Mary Todd to get the fuck out of here because the South is coming up north, so you need to get out of here before they get to you. And I love this fucking switcheroo that they do.
Yeah, they do.
They do it, man.
They do that switcheroo.
As simple as this movie could be to some people, T-Boo didn't see shit coming. I did.
Dude, movie... I thought something would happen with this, though, because of the way that McPoyle stare.
That way he looked out. When he looked out the train and said, this is all according to plan, that's the one scene where I thought something might be up here. Yeah. Something might be up here. But so Lincoln's plan is, I'm going to transport all this silver on the railroad, and Mary Todd's going to get out of town with Harriet Tubman, who showed up in the movie, right, by the way.
Harriet Tubman's in this movie, the real person.
The real one. They brought her back, and mm-hmm. they dug her up out of hard time. Stop. I'll stop that. They're getting away with all kinds of freed slaves. They're like fucking getting the fuck out of there. Well, Vermodna, I don't know her name, man. The fucking
Vodma,
the female vampire, finds Mary Todd.
Anoxana
Bloodsucker finds her on the goddamn Underground Railroad and looks at Mary Todd in the fucking eyes. And then they're like, we got to get out of here. We got to have a train to catch, the other vampires say. So they let her go. And then all the other people come out the fucking woods like, oh, they're on a mission. They're doing something. The vampires ambush the train, and Henry shows up to tell Abraham Lincoln, hey, your boy Speed, he done sold you out. And the way the movie plays this up really good is because earlier in the film, at one point privately, outside of what's happening now, Speed does tell Lincoln, like, dude, this war is costing us way more lives than what I think this is worth. And Abraham is steadfast, based on what I think Mary Todd told him earlier, where she was like, my father said, plant your feet and stand firm. Just choose wisely where you plant your feet. Like, there's so many grandiose lines in this movie that are so well done to me, and they keep recycling the same way with contingency plan. Something Henry taught Abe a long time ago, always have a contingency plan. Yep. Always have a plan B. Always. And this is the crucial plan B, because Adam and his crew are fucking on the train. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to fucking do whatever. And they're even lighting this bridge on fire that the train has to cross on the railroad. So this bridge is going up in flames. This action sequence on the rooftop of the trains.
Yeah.
Magnifique.
Absolutely.
I'm again thinking of Trev, and like, he brought this movie to us, and I'm watching this scene, and yep. I'm like, this is like Matrix blended with 300. Blended with John Wick all together. That's just the action and the vibe that I'm getting off of this. Vampires attacking Abraham Lincoln, his buddy Will. They're passing the axe back and forth. They're fucking, I'm just like cheering, like, yeah, this is awesome the whole time it's happening.
I was dancing in front of the microwave. Appreciate it.
So dope ass scene. And it turns out our McPoyle, our Speed, our boy, was part of the plan. He tricked Adam into thinking, yep, that they were transporting all the silver on this train. That's why Henry showed up. He's like, I got the intel. I got the drop on your friend. He's a bitch, a traitor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, the McPoyle was part of the plan. I like how Lincoln laughed at him when he said that, though. He's like, you don't even know. He's like,
right,
bitch,
yeah,
I done thought of all this. And this, like, when it all gets revealed, because Adam's smashing open boxes on the train and big heavy rocks are falling out.
Yeah.
He looks over at Henry and he's like, what the fuck? And Henry's like, Abe tricked us both, because I was here to warn him about this. But it turns out he's got the drop on all of us, bitch.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln, don't be stinking no more.
Oh!
The train starts getting derailed. The fire and the billowing smoke. The way this is all shot is so tension heavy. Because all these fucking boxcars are going off the tracks and falling. Will and Abraham are on top of the train, barely able to fucking stay on here. Adam's inside. Like, there's a lot going on. He eventually falls out and starts kicking beams out, trying to collapse them as the fire is burning. And they're getting to the end of the track, and the train's chugging along, trying to get there, but it's fucking falling.
Oh no.
Major Payne Henry shows up and holds the tracks to the fucking hillside with his bare vampire strength.
Right.
When does Adam get killed? He got killed right before that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he got killed. So Abe started swinging his fucking axe at Adam, and Adam was dodging it, and then Adam broke the axe in half. And then he got in close to Abe, and he's like, it's over with, and then, like, goes to, I think, bite him. And then Abe fucking punches him with, like, a silver, like, brass knuckle type thing.
No, he punches him with the silver watch in his hand.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, the silver watch in his hand. There we go.
Yeah.
And fucking, like, just punches the hole in him, basically. Mm-hmm. Just fucking
uppercuts
him, and then we get some more Michael Bay just vampire explosion.
The movie goes apeshit, man. It goes completely apeshit, but Abe and Will eventually live, and it's like, well, where's all the silver? Turns out Mary Todd and all the freed slaves brought the silver to the fucking Union Army.
Yeah.
And they're using it on the vampires.
Abe was like, this isn't the only railway or some shit.
Underground Railroad. Cousin.
Yeah, we had the Underground Railroad. Hashtag, my girl, Harriet Tubman.
Renegades of Funk.
Hashtag Underground.
Yeah.
Cuck. Yep.
Yeah, boy. Renegades.
A whole lot of cooking going on underground, by the way.
Underground Cuck Road.
Lights out. Cuck Radio. Turn that shit up.
This movie does end on, unfortunately, April 14th, 1865, where Abraham Lincoln is celebrating the end of the war with Henry telling him, like, hey, man, why do we have to stop now? Why don't I just make you immortal like me and we can fight this forever? Like, we can just keep fighting all the evil in the world. And this is where the movie gets heavy yet again. And I'm glad they didn't show this final historical scene because it would have been too much of a downer. Abe's like, you know, nah, I can't do this for all time. Time waits for no man. And he's going to remain a man, immortal. And he goes out to his wife who they're about to go to a play. And she's like, he's like, where's...
Don't forget your hat.
Have you seen my hat? And she's like, oh, it's inside. And he goes get his hat. He gives Henry his journals. And then he goes off. And we get an epilogue.
We get a transition.
Yeah. A good transition with an epic narrative that I kind of led us in with at the beginning of the episode. But it's a little different here. But... in Washington, D.C., in modern times, some dude's on his fucking cell phone just fucking typing shit up, texting his ass off, getting drunker than fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And who's next to him but our boy Henry? And he's like, the last time I seen someone get drunk like that, they were either going to kiss a woman or kill a guy.
He slaps him on the back.
Yeah.
Awesome. Which is it, son? He slaps him on the back and a gun falls out his pocket.
That was Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and what a ride that I did not even expect. My final thoughts and ratings, you basically know it at this point. Way better than I thought this movie was going to be. Trev, when you submitted it, I was like, okay, this might be fun, but it's probably going to be like Van Helsing. I thought this would be like some Van Helsing shit. Van Helsing's not even this good. This is better than that. Like, and that's fucked up.
I mean, I love Van Helsing.
I love that movie.
I did enjoy Van Helsing a lot, too.
This movie is better than Van Helsing, though.
Van Helsing never got deep and made me feel sad for the characters. It never made me feel emotions.
The best it got was me wanting to put it on Dracula's Brides and Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, you know what right? I mean?
Yeah. Well,
the best Van Helsing got for me was like Dracula lamenting being cosmic.
Yes.
That was like probably my favorite part. But
yeah.
But this has emotional depth to it. Man, and you know what? I don't even care if maybe I'm looking too deep into it. I don't give a fuck. It's what I watched it and I'm like, I told Ashley when I was done, I was like, this is a 10. I don't have anything wrong with this movie. There was one scene I had a small issue with. One is when Abraham Lincoln's mom was suffering from her ailment and she started to shake away a certain way, and the camera kind of did a weird, slightly weird editing thing for one second, barely. And at that point, I was like, well, that was a weird choice. And that's the only issue I had with this movie. That's it. The whole entire time, I was sucked into the movie, glued to the screen.
Oh my God.
In for the story. I was in for it, man. It's a 10. Fuck it.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome, dude. The only complaint I have is at times I would like look at my phone because I was like, man, this movie's kind of long. So I'm perfectly prepared to give it an 8. It's a fucking blast. I love it.
Cody?
First off, I'm not the biggest fan of vampires. And the movie itself, the production value is impressive. Wow. Mm-hmm. It looks good. The gripes, I would say, is the pacing for me kind of got bogged down a few places. The kind of silliness of the story that we were talking about and the execution doesn't blend that well for me at times as well. Like, I liked the movie in parts, I would say. I think my favorite scene would probably be the train scene because that is just done perfection, man.
Like, it's so awesome. Epic.
What'd you think about the horse stampede scene, though?
Yeah, epic. No, that looked really good, too. Yeah, yeah. It's a good movie. It's like, I don't dislike it. But like I said, I more like it in parts. A 7. I'd give it a 7.
Nothing wrong with that. That's a little love.
Like, and it's probably mainly for the vampire thing because I never really cared for. I'm more of a zombie kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm also not a huge vampire fan, but I find more over the last, I want to say 10 years, I've become more of a vampire fan than I was. In high school,
and I was right.
Yeah, it's like they've made some really good movies, and then even movies I go back and watch, like this one that I never even considered that would be something up my alley. Honestly, I think doing this podcast and watching some of the movies that I watch with y'all and talking about them the way that we do is making me watch movies differently and being like,
right,
this is a B movie done on a. Just epic scale.
Big
man.
Malignant energy.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fucking A, bro. This is like, but even the original Malignant fucking basket case is a 10. So I don't know. Like, I'm just, sometimes I after watching Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, I was thinking about other ratings I gave other movies and I'm like, what am I worried about sometimes? Like, what is the big deal, man? I don't know, but it's how you feel. And this movie just, I had no problems. None. So I think a 7 is also an 8.
They're both high rankings. Like, high. Yeah. You know,
that's what you don't give a movie like this, really.
You don't have to give a 10 for every great movie you watch, like, especially if it doesn't hit you the right way, right? I respect that. Like I said, 7 and 8 are still fucking high as shit. So like that's nothing.
Oh yeah,
stuff at.
Yeah. Man.
I mean,
some more gore. I could have used some gore. I guess.
I feel like the gore level in this movie was actually pretty high. Because when he's axing people, he's splitting people down the middle. There's blood going everywhere. Like,
dude, he cuts people's heads off with train doors. He cuts people's heads off with tables. A table he does it with.
Maybe I wanted human gore. I don't know.
No, I mean, and I think there's different kinds of gores. And yeah.
And I will say the gore in this movie was basic, and right. consistently basic, right? Like, they didn't get really inventive with the gore, but, like, there's still cool shit that happens.
They
like
got, inventive with the kills, with the axe. The axe is a kills. Fucking great weapon.
Oh,
man.
Yes.
The axe is a good is a character in the movie, almost.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, the way it was used in this movie was fucking spectacular.
The back and forth on the train, like, yeah, dude. It's,
that got my axe dick hard,
almost, the axe is almost a character itself.
And honestly, the acting was actually pretty good in this movie, too.
When he broke the axe, though, I got sad. Yeah. I was like, there goes the axe.
You killed the axe.
Because he put it away. Remember when he said he put childish things away and he put the axe away, but then he went got it back? I like the scene where he's fumbling the axe for the first time after so long and he drops it and he's like, oh, God damn it. I'm out of practice. Like, oh, shit.
The acting in this movie is fucking phenomenal. I loved it. Even the people that play like crazy characters, like fucking Bards.
Yeah.
Like, he played it such to a T, though, for that kind of character, and I fucking loved it.
I had no problem with the performances. Just want to say,
for sure. And like, as long as you know that this, like, even as serious as this movie is, there's still that comedic background to it, and some of these actors do a great job at lending to the comedic background while still being serious. And you could tell by watching the movie, like, they do a really good job of it. I don't have any issue with the tone of this movie. I never once got bored. Like, I never really wanted to pick my phone up. I just kept watching. The kills are fucking fun as shit. The plot line is carried throughout the entire movie, which isn't hard because it's a fucking historic-based vampire killer
movie. But I like that they tie in dialogue. Events they bring it all back and forth throughout the whole script. They did a good job.
It all comes around, man.
It all comes around, baby.
It all comes around.
So, so obviously my score is gonna be a 10.
Damn.
Hell yeah, Trev. I love it.
I was telling Ricky before we started recording. I was like, you know, I watched this movie in theater because I had read the book first. And I was like, well, now I have to watch the movie.
Okay.
And the impression I had with the first time watch was like, oh, this is a good movie, but like, it's not amazing. And then I rewatched it today and I was like, fuck, was I sleeping on like what I was watching in the movie theater fucking 11 years ago? I was pleasantly
presidentially surprised. Trevor and Ham Lincoln.
Yeah, and how good this movie actually was. Because I didn't think it was a 10 after like my first watch. And the rewatch is what really solidified it for me. Because I already knew it was going to be a fun movie, but I didn't realize how fun. Like, and I love action movies, and I love horror movies, and I love conspiracy movies. So
this
like
gave me
this
big
shit,
Renfield vibes, dude. Big
it
Renfield
did.
Vibes.
It had some Renfield vibes to it for sure.
What did I rate Renfield in our goddamn end of the year? Because I was wrong.
Fucking,
it's a 10.
No, you ranked it a 10, I want to say.
Oh, good, because it's a 10.
Yeah.
I never seen it.
You need to watch it. Anything with Nick?
Yeah, you need to watch.
That's what everybody says. Yeah.
I'm going to recommend it again since we own Nick Cage.
Yeah.
The unbearable weight of massive talent.
It's on the back burner, bro.
Nick Cage being himself, playing himself.
Yeah.
In this crazy world.
Yeah.
With Pedro Pascal being also crazy and amazing.
But yeah, man, I think if you like history and you like horror movies that have a historical basis background, kind of like Forrest Gump, but horror, fucking watch this movie. Watch Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, too. That shit was good.
I'm down because I love Pride, Prejudice, the movie.
And Zombies. Yeah.
I haven't seen the zombie one, but I love the Pride and Prejudice movie. So I'll check it out one day.
Since we have a fourth wall, I'll break the fourth wall a little bit and go into some private shit a little bit, but it's going to be all right because it turned out the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Cody talked about this movie before I watched it, but Cody had already started watching it. And he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to love this movie. And he gave it a 7, which is a good high score, but he wasn't done watching it yet. He had just started.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it. And I was already kind of on the fence because I was like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. It just sounds, you know how it sounds. That being said, it's like people could think I'm giving this a 10 because nightclub. No, I'm being serious. I watched this movie. When I was done with it, I had an exhilarating time. I had heavy times during watching it where I was upset with what was happening to some characters, the way it was filmed, the way it was shot. I will say the score, I probably won't remember so much, but that's not a bad thing necessarily. Sometimes if you don't remember the score, it's just part of the viewing experience. The score didn't stand out, but it added to the movie. And that's what I think this did. It just added to the movie. It added to what was happening on screen. This movie was just, you came in with a hot 10 out of 10.
Thank you
for bringing this movie to the goddamn nightclub, dude.
Yeah, me and Teresa were talking about like cool sequels that wouldn't just be vampires. Like she was like, yeah, like it should be like a sequel where he gets another present. I was like, so like George Bush versus werewolves? And I was like, never mind. This sounds amazing. Barack Obama versus the witches, you know, like
George Washington versus zombies.
Right. Yeah, like I could see a franchise, man. It would be fun.
Oh, presidents versus horror icons.
Yeah, dude. Give me Obama versus werewolves. Give me Bush versus witches.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking Donald Trump versus ooze. You know,
versus Cthulhu.
Like, for like the brainless aspect of his enemy.
God damn.
I'm keeping it in because it's true.
Also, Trump boys now.
Oh well,
so, I'm just saying the guy fucking can't. Yeah, Roomba.
Yeah,
Roomba.
All I'm saying is
Trump don't get ghost tripped all the time. Okay.
We can't do this on the nightclub. We can't.
Y'all doing it though.
No, we can't. All right.
I mean, we'll.
I'll cut it at some point, but there it is.
No.
Roomba Joe.
Yeah, I gotta. Roomba Joe.
I like Roomba Joe. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
He can't find his way off the stage, man. He can't do it, dude. He can't do it no matter what.
Embrace the power of the truth like Honest Abe and always have a contingency plan, motherfucker.
Boom.
Embrace the law books, bro.
Embrace the law books, bro.
It's very easy to fall in love with a stripper.
Yeah.
Damn. True.
Or bite him in the bathtub.
Damn, God.
Yeah, God. Stay spooky, stay rewriting history, and stay honest like Abe, bitches.